First one, thoughts on being compared to a, I think a few people were asking this one, thoughts on being compared to a young Jakob.
With each setting sun, the whispers grew. Not of ancient kings or dragons of old, but of a different kind of power, a power yet to be unleashed. They spoke of a boy born down under, named Cameron Myers. From his earliest breaths, he was not merely a child, but a vessel forged by unseen hands for a singular purpose, to challenge the reign of Jakob, the Norwegian prince, and shatter the global records etched in stone. The prophecy foretold his coming, a storm on the horizon, destined to sweep away the old order and usher in a new dawn of dominance. But will the boy, burdened by the weight of a preordained future, truly be able to outrun destiny itself? Find out on The Coffee Club Podcast.
Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club Podcast for episode 187. Today, we have a very special show. We have Mr. Cameron Myers, should be joining us in a little bit. Very excited for that. Our first minor that we've had on the show, so good to tick a box there.
You got permission from the principal to, you know, we gave him a permission note to join the podcast.
Very and nice. The parents, you needed three signatures.
Oh, yeah, we need three signatures.
To allow with this, with the craziness that's going to happen here. But we're very excited to have him on. But before that, there is... You know, quite a, there's a bit of other stuff going on. It's not just, not everything in our world revolves around Cam Myers. Some of it also revolves around Jakob Ingebrigtsen and occasionally Josh Kerr and
Yucky.
Ourselves.
Yucky.
Shout out to Yucky. We wish you the best with your injury, with your Achilles injury. Just,
we do.
If you need it, if you need a kiss or anything, we know a lot of people that have lips. In fact, we have lips.
Where are we going with this? No, but one thing that we need to make sure he doesn't stop doing is those YouTube videos, those car, particularly the car wrapping YouTube videos. Keep that up, brother.
Wrap more cars.
Wrap more cars while you're dealing with this difficult time of injury.
Make more content out of
it. Yeah, keep making the content because it's been quite enjoyable so far.
I actually do like his content a lot. So shout out to him. Hopefully he's back healthy as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned already, if he needs any help with getting healthy or anything, he can just let us know and we'll be there for him in a heartbeat. But moving on. So we're going to preview a few races. It's actually the week of Trackfest, I think it's called. I always lose track of these different sound running names. Pun not intended. But I believe this is LA Trackfest. I don't know if they have a sponsor for it this year, but it's the Sound Running, presented by Sound Running.
Well, if they want us to sponsor it, you know, we could just do it for free.
Well, our preview of the last one wasn't great.
What happened last time?
I don't remember.
We didn't know it was on. So we're really going to make up for it. We're really going to make up for it round two of Sound Running
this
year.
Our previews have notoriously not been that good anyway, George, to be honest.
Yeah, that was actually, that was a good one.
I thought that was a good one.
Better than normal, actually.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. A few other things I have in my notes. Grand Slam stealing ideas from Coffee Club. That's in there. So we'll talk about that. It's been conference weekend in the NCAA world. Some very exciting results. But before all that, a little update on the boys. Ollie, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, good. How you doing? Now, training's been going very well. Definitely at a point in the season where we're pretty far out from worlds, but the training's been pretty fun and pretty hard, and we're starting to get into some specific stuff.
Close to some big races.
Yeah, close to some big races coming up in a few weeks. And obviously, when you get separated with the mid-D boys and you look at the line in front of you doing reps, it's pretty incredible to run with such talented boys, Mario, Yara, and Robert. It's pretty sick. So I'm excited. Everything else has been going great. I was in Crested Butte for about 12 hours before on the weekend, which was fun for my girlfriend's birthday. We had a fun time. We did murder mystery. It's my idea.
Did you solve the mystery?
I wasn't the solve. I was the narrator.
They did solve
the mystery, but they were just accusing everyone. It got to a point where toy guns were definitely out firing caps at people, and fake knives were being distributed. Poison was being administered
Real poison.
AKA tequila. Oh. But I was the narrator. I was the fly on the wall, just facilitating. Which was fun. That was a great time. I'm a bit frustrated with some things right now.
Can I just give context? Ollie was really has been in a bit of a tizzy, and yeah. then he had a sip of the peppermint tea that
Jordy's calmed me down.
To us, and he said, "Oh, I really needed
Jordy."
This.
Jordy's calmed me down. For the past few days, actually, I've been quite frustrated. And what else can you do but spend time with your boys and drink some peppermint tea?
This came all the way from New Zealand. Talk about actually, feelings.
It's amazing tea.
Oh, that's why it tastes like shit.
Vacuum, I'm kidding. Vacuum packed by my mother.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
We love you.
Well, in a plastic, it looked a lot like weed, but it was.
But it made it through.
I'm not
sure. Are you sure it's not weed?
That could be actually why.
That's why you're feeling
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm feeling a lot more relaxed. But
wait,
yeah.
Speaking of parents, big birthday shout out to my dad.
Happy birthday, Rob. Birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to give you a big hug when I see you.
May 19th.
I hope he's having a good day golfing.
Yeah.
Is he golfing?
Probably working.
Oh, he's working.
That means you already missed it. Did you tell him yesterday?
I told him happy American birthday.
Okay.
So you missed it.
What'd you get him?
Depends. Nothing yet. Well, okay, so my mom was here this past week and I did probably send them a lot of clothes and shoes. Mm. I don't know if that counts though, because that's like pretty low effort, low liftoff for us to
They're still getting some. It's a thought that counts.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty exposed right now. I'm trying to think. I texted
him. You mean on clothes and shoes?
Wait, I texted him at 7 a.m. this morning.
What time is that in Australia?
It might still be before midnight.
Is that like
by one? What is the time difference right now?
15?
Oh, New Zealand is 6, so I think you're in the clear.
Let's fuck
by like probably 1 hour.
Yeah, you probably just squeeze
in. 11 p.m. 11 p.m. Well
snuck
done.
In there at the last second.
Well, happy birthday, Rob.
All is forgiven.
Yeah.
I know he listens.
Yeah. We love you.
We love you.
Sorry for interrupting.
No, I just dealing with some frustrations, but that's a part of life. Part of dealing with things. If everything was smooth sailing, you'd be George. So I'm kidding, George. I know we all go through hardships. Frustrated.
What coffee have you been drinking lately?
Been drinking the Verb Columbia coffee.
They have a lot of Columbia, right?
Yeah, now. I went in what I do is, George, I'll go in when I'm like running out of beans and I'll grab a coffee and I'll have some beans and I'll read my book because I'm currently rereading the last couple books of Red Rising. So I'll go in there, have a coffee, have a read. Sometimes Carlos works there, who's a runner and a really nice guy. He is like so on it with the coffee there. It's unreal. But when I was looking at the thing, I was looking for I wanted some Ethiopian beans and it was all Colombian. So, but the Colombian beans have been pretty nice.
Special anaerobic?
No, I think I just get one of the ones that they use for just espresso. But I've been having one coffee a day. I used to have like two or three. So I've been really trying to drop that down.
Do you think that's why you feel less good?
No, that's not why.
Okay.
The
pretty confident on that.
I'm pretty confident on that. Like everything else has been great. Like spending good time with good friends and everything's been pretty lovely.
Three-peat on the Sea Burger last night.
Yeah,
three Sundays in a row.
Shout out to Sea Burger. We've been every Sunday. The waitress knows us. Like I was there first and she said, she's like, she literally said to me, she said, oh, I'll get you a drink while you're waiting. We'll move the tables together. I didn't say a word to her. And she said, is that German bloke coming? AKA Robert Farkin. Because Robert
he's memorable because he orders three single patty burgers
instead of Joe Clacker ordering
this time
the triple
four.
And
yeah, you ordered four this time.
Four singles,
yeah,
four single burgers.
Also, yeah, and
Clacker does the opposite.
He gets the triple. Well, he was the first one to order patties
with only one bun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the thing is, I was thinking like, wow, that's a crazy way to order. Speaking of Falcon getting four singles, but I was like, do you know? I can understand how maybe like the perfect bite for you.
The ratio.
Like, I get a double, personally. I'm more of a double type guy. But I can see that. It's just really economically not good because it's really expensive to order four single burgers.
Yeah, compared to ordering a double. Mm-hmm. But Robert, you know,
he doesn't care.
He doesn't give a shit.
I remember I used to go at least 3x3 at In-N-Out, I think. But mostly, I think, just because it was fun to order. I don't know.
It just sounded
They were
fun.
Also way cheaper. Than Shit Burger.
I just heard today that they're opening one in Longtucky.
No way.
Yeah.
Had to happen eventually.
Out by the Costco or something.
Wait, who is In-N-Out?
Seaburger.
Oh, Seaburger.
In-N-Out.
Yeah. No, In-N-Out. So do you guys know Hazel's? The beverage place? So I like a beer, but I'm trying not to drink. So I've been drinking Athletic Brewing. I've been drinking some NAs.
Have you had Beero yet?
Beero. So this is the thing. I saw it there. I
almost bought some the other day.
I was going to buy it because of Tom Holland, but yeah, then I'm thinking too. Like...
Oh, it's his brand.
Maybe. Yeah, I was like, I would prefer to wait a little bit because I think it was only the general one. There wasn't the IPA there. I think it was the lager, which I honestly, like an NA lager for me, I'm more interested in an IPA maybe, but it depends. I should try it though. But the reason why I'm talking about Hazel's, the liquor store, is because next to it, they have an In-N-Out pop-up that would come in to Boulder.
Really?
Yeah. It's happened a few times.
I've never heard about
that. And I've went over and gotten In-N-Out. And honestly, Jordy, it's the best In-N-Out burger I've had. Just because it's like outdoor grilling, like I don't know why. It's just so much. It was just so much better than when I had it in Cali.
Does it taste better than a post Red Rocks Chick-fil-A burger?
No, nothing can taste better than a post Red Rocks Chick-fil-A burger, particularly because that burger probably costs like $16.
Yeah, so
it's so expensive. The funniest thing is walking out and seeing like drunk people just order like four sandwiches and just like tap their phone. That's how easy it is. And then you look, and then you wake up the next morning and you're probably looking at your statement. And you're like, how did I spend $80 after the show was done? Oh, I bought 16 Chick-fil-A sandwiches and then just threw them to random people. That didn't happen. I'm not saying that happened to me, but I'm just saying like an example.
It could happen.
It could happen. But no, everything's been great. Dealing with some frustrations, but that is the way it goes. And what else has been happening? Oh, I'm going to try and get a new car. So if anybody wants to go to my GoFundMe and
he has expensive taste.
So. I have expensive taste. I'm ordering a Lamborghini. No, I just got inspired by the Jakob stuff. I want to buy a new car. I actually got inspired mostly by my neighbor. He bought a new car. So
You were telling us about.
Yeah, very, very, very cool car. But
a replacement? Or are you trying to be a two-car owner?
Well, Gus, you could give one to Gus.
Give one to Gus. Well, the CEO probably does deserve his own wheel. He's have his own wheel. But I kind of want to get a new vehicle. Or if the tariffs are continuing, maybe I just wait it out and just
buy American.
Guys, this isn't like an economics podcast, but dude, I'm so scared for those tariffs they're about to hit.
So speaking of the tariffs, just because this isn't the economic section of the Coffee Club podcast, I was looking into, so I called Land Rover. And I asked them like, okay, so like I want to go in and test drive, and then like they'll take my car and then they'll give it a price, and then I'll argue the price, and then they'll buy it, and then I use that for credit to buy the car. So I was looking into it because Steve, my neighbor, who's a lovely guy, gave me the number of his contacts, and they were telling me
that he just bought a Defender, correct?
Yeah, he bought a Defender V8, but he said get the Octi one, get like the new really nice one. Like the V8 one's pretty good, but he said if you want to like buy something that's going to hold its value, that's really good. Or the V8. But he said you should get in quick because the tariffs, I think they're stopping production with some of the stuff. And I asked him, I said, oh, is it too late to like maybe reserve or get something in? He said, at this point in time, we have no idea if what's going to happen with the car prices. It could go up by like 25 to 30%, which is insane.
Yeah, the numbers don't add up. Well, maybe they do for someone, but I was taking a peruse down Pearl Street a few days ago. I already think I told Ollie this. And we stopped by a couple stores, Black Diamond, went to Peppercorn, which is like a
speaking
a
of cool expensive taste,
cool kitchen store. And all they were talking about there was like specifically in Black Diamond, they said the tariff prices are hitting tomorrow and stuff is going up like by $100. It was like stuff's going up between 20 and 100. And then in Peppercorn, they were talking about how all their electronics are all going up by like at least $100.
So,
and they can't carry them in store anymore because it's too expensive.
So, you know, Arc'teryx?
Yeah.
I went there to get Meg a ski jacket for her birthday. The guy was like, you came at the perfect time. He said, in a few weeks, our prices are going to go up by a shit ton. I was like, do you know how much? And he said, we haven't been told yet, but we know it's going to be pretty dramatic that we're not going to get much business. I was like,
fucking scary, bro.
So, and that just reminds us all, go onto the website, coffeeclub.com, if you want to buy.
I wonder, are our prices going up? How is the tariffs affecting our merch?
Oh, no, I think we're neutral. I mean, how does it affect our merch?
So our last one, well, actually, our one 2 times ago was all made in America.
Mm.
So maybe that one's unaffected.
Mm.
Our other ones, though, are definitely not all made in America, so I can't speak. But actually, the thing is, though, even if something is made in America, the machines that make it is definitely not made in America.
Mm.
So they're probably actually still would go up in price.
Do you reckon there'll be tariffs on Diamond League wins?
Yeah.
Like, that's why you got to compete and get Wonder, slammed. Because slammed is an American run, American only, Commissioner Gordon run meet, and you're probably getting all that dosh without any tariffs affecting it. If I go run in Rome, I'm probably getting tariffed.
Is that how that works?
No, but I just thought it would be funny.
I believe you. I believe
it'd be funny if you get your check, like you get your little thing from your agent. It's like tariff, like half the like $5,000 or something. You're like, oh no!
And they take the fee before the tariff.
Yeah, they take the 15% before, and then they tariff you.
Smart. So yeah, that's what's going on with Ollie.
Yeah, frustrated, but having a great time.
Thriving.
I sound like a prepubescent teen, but you know.
I love it. I love it.
Geordie?
Lovely. You know how I became friends with last week?
Wait, can we have a hint?
Friends, that's a reach, actually.
Who became friends with last week?
Who I met.
Kai Robinson.
And chatted briefly.
Timothy Chalamet?
Kendall Jenner.
No, but he's really cool right now.
Timmy can do no wrong right now, dude. He was seen at the Knicks game with two Jenners next to him going crazy. With all Knicks gear on, all the players are high-fiving him and shit. That dude is like...
He's for real. He's
unstoppable.
A real deal.
Unstoppable. No,
he's the prophet.
All right. Close. Coach Carlson. That was just below, right below.
No
right below
way. Timothy Chalamet. It is similar. How'd that come about?
Did you know that he owns Carl's Jr.? I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Did you know that Carl's Jr. owns Hardee's?
So Joe Hardy owns Sean Carlson.
Or maybe I said that backwards. Whoever owns, they're owned by the same person.
Oh, I was going to say. So either Coach Joe Carlson. Hardy owns Coach Carlson or Coach Carlson owns Joe Hardy.
Yeah. This is the CU coach.
Do they own the CU track?
Shouldn't he have been at conference or something? Shouldn't he have been coaching?
I think he was leaving that day. I should give a shout out because they let us go to the track, which was unexpected. And previously, we were going to drive across the country to find a track with a water jump. But in the end, we just went down the road to see you.
And that's really nice. That's really nice.
Carlson very generously let us... he actually filled the pit up, topped it up for me. So it was nice and level.
He topped you up.
Topped it up, yeah.
Nice. Topped it up. I'm surprised at this point Ritz hasn't made his own little water pit.
I'm also surprised by that. And so I did some water jumps. That's the big update.
It's huge.
And Carlson stood right at the end of the barrier, just watching me. It was pretty funny.
Geordie, as I'd say, is a great Kiwi.
Did you get wet? Not very.
Oh,
well done.
He's ready to go. He's ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first. Right.
I had one especially was 99% dry.
Do you want to test the spikes to drain if you want to get wet? Do you deliberately do that, or is that just like a thing that I made up in my head?
Yeah, I shower in them.
You shower on them?
Yeah, just every day.
I thought I was the only one allowed to know that. You're telling the world about that, George?
No, I trust our engineers.
Swiss engineering.
Yep. So that was kind of fun. First time I've actually ever done a water jump in training, now that I think about it. Because we normally train at high schools, which don't have water jumps, or at least not normally, right?
Probably not. I don't think steeples happens in high school here in America too often.
No, not a lot anyway. So first water jump since the Olympics was a little bit nervous, but no, it was actually all good. Did five or six of them.
Very nice.
Sucks.
And and chatted with Carlson,
who
was telling me all about all these New Zealanders that are going to see you.
Maybe that's why he wanted you there. He wanted you to help with recruiting.
He has one, and apparently some other kid is going.
I think that's like half of New Zealand.
Exactly. Yeah.
What about any good runners? Or just New Zealanders?
No comment.
Oh, actually, speaking of pissing off New Zealand, Morgan, did you hear about our new one of our new staff members for AA?
Yeah.
She was.
Wait, is this public?
Yeah, how did you know? You don't know that yet. You're not supposed to know that yet.
Yeah, but I do. And I'm not going
to
say anything else.
Are we
but
allowed to talk about this?
Probably not, but no one knows who it is. No one knows who it is. Right. I didn't say the name, but sucked in, George. That's all I'm going to say.
Sucked in.
Sucked in. How does it make you feel?
I don't
feel?
Know what that means. I think Maya is more upset than I am.
But Maya, I can see Maya being upset about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think from that position, I can see it. But...
Not to change the subject, but what were these water jumps in anticipation of?
Good question.
Future water jumps.
Grand slams opening up with 3K steeple.
Into it? Sound running track fest presented by
the 10
sound running
slash coffee club
slash coffee club
potentially.
Oh yeah, are we the title sponsor?
Not officially.
We could just probably put that in there when we
talk about
it.
The amount of advertising we do for them, we are the title sponsor.
Yep.
And happening in 2 days' time from listening to this podcast Coffee Club Day. In LA at the famous Occidental College, which everyone tells me is a great place to run. Having never run there myself, I'm looking forward to it.
It's a big egg.
I think I speak for all of our Coffee Club fans, including myself, in asking you this very, very important question, George, leading into this race. Hair up or hair down?
Always half up.
Half up. Down. All right, so we're going in between. I wasn't sure if you want to go
in Japan this year, bro. Get with it.
Come on.
You're going to do the samurai?
Year of the samurai.
I didn't know if it was testing. You might have been testing out a few different things.
I've been concerned that your hair is not looking enough like a samurai, actually, Ollie.
I
was looking to bring that up at some point. Thanks for bringing it up.
What, that my hair's not samurai hair?
Dude, world champs is in Japan right now this year. Get with it.
Dude, we need those headbands from the summit.
Dude, we do need some headbands.
Your hair's looking more samurai than mine, to be honest.
Your hair actually looks kind of Japanese because they do like the platinum.
Yeah.
If I wear
a headband with the platinum hair, they'd probably
be
like...
sick.
Yeah, that could work, actually.
Maybe I'll just do that.
That could work really well.
And then the glasses.
Completes the look.
Yeah, shout out. Shout out Oakley.
So late Saturday night. We're actually the last event. We're like 9:30 Saturday.
Dude, if you're nice in LA, race.
Come out. Do you have to pay for sound running?
I assume so.
Probably do.
Unless you watch it from outside the fence.
But you could easily jump the fence, I'm sure.
Although we don't encourage that. We definitely don't encourage that. However, you know, you can if you want.
If it's that or not, come watch me. Definitely that option.
I was going to say, just don't say that Jerry Schumacher told you to jump the fence. Don't say that Ollie, George, and Morgan told you to jump the fence.
Put that one on Jerry. Just walk through the door and say, Jerry said he would pay for this. Put this on Jerry's tab. And that should get you in automatically.
I can't wait to get sued by Jerry Schumacher.
He said he was going to cover this.
Yeah, he said he was going to cover that one.
For the good of the sport.
Yeah.
Who else is racing in the steeple? Do we know?
Kung Fu, no, not.
Kung Fu Kenny. Kung Fu Kenny.
Dude, I was just thinking about him when I was like.
That immediately in my head, I was thinking Kung Fu Kenny. What? We need a different nickname for.
To be fair, I just want to, on a side note, and I was just completely off topic. That is a good looking man, Kung Fu Kenny.
Yeah.
I reckon he's one of the best looking men in sprints.
That's pretty on topic.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I'll give you that. Yeah,
that's what I'm going to say.
BYU Kenny? What, Olympic medal? Oh, they both got Olympic.
Kenneth Brooks?
Yeah. Other Kenny.
Kung Fu Kenneth.
Rook to Queen 9.
I was trying to think of a chess one as well.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Olympic silver medalist.
Dude, he fucking just races everywhere. I love it.
He races hard too. He goes hard. So that'd be good for to have him in the race.
Who?
It's a repeat of 2 years ago.
Mm.
Is it not? Was that the track fest?
Yeah,
at
he won.
The Borsak?
Yeah, at Mount Borsak.
Yeah.
Did he win Mount Borsak? You were second.
You
beat closed down. You were freaking.
I didn't know who.
No one knew who he was.
I didn't know who he was. That was only my second steeple ever, so maybe I wasn't good enough anyway to go with. But he just took off. Like, there's some college kids tearing it up. And I don't think he's lost a race in the U.S. since then. Like, a steeple, I mean.
Probably not. He's kind of been head and shoulders above.
He's pretty dominant on home soil.
Yeah.
Like 2 US titles in a row and every sound running.
Portland Track Fest.
Damn, that's Portland. That's like head, shoulders, knees and toes.
Above the rest, yeah. He is.
Head and shoulders.
He has like just an innate ability to run too flat no matter what at the end of barriers, which no one else.
So they call him the closer.
Kenny the closer.
Kenny the closer.
No one else seems to be able to do.
Jordan.
Apart from Al Broccoli. Wait.
Al
Brock.
Was he the one? Yeah, he won
Al
gold.
Brock did win the Olympics.
That's it.
So that'll be fun to mix it up with Kenny. And also some other good people. Dunk from Jerry Shoemaker's club. Duncan Hamilton.
Dunkin' Donuts Hamilton.
Pride of the Big Sky is running. Joey Bags.
Joey Bags.
Coffee Club TC. Ed Trippis is on the list. We're hoping OAC Down Under.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Just the usual US suspects.
The US domestic steeplechases have a very good attendance rate of just like a lot of the best guys are there. Like you can count on them being good races.
I think. Well, there's not very many of them, which tells you something.
Mm-hmm.
It condenses the fields into the only ones that are available.
Don't have an option.
It's basically this and Portland track. And then USA's, I think.
That's it.
Unless you want to go.
That just tells me
overseas.
They need to run more 10Ks. I feel like there's not enough 10Ks around. George.
Yeah, they have two or three.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I think it's going to, take probably something quite fast to win, but not Diamond League fast. So that's kind of the plan. Went straight into the Diamond League last year. And I think it's going to be nice this year to open up in LA, something a bit more chill.
It's a big benefit of how late Worlds is. You have a nice kind of runway.
Yeah,
you can plan out your season in that way. So that'll be sweet. And there is a good OEC showing out of the Track Fest this year.
We got a crew going down there.
On the men's, we also have Mario racing in the 15, which on paper, all these races do look like really, really good, high quality races.
They do.
So everyone's in for a showing, I think. Mario in the 15. We got Dylan and Kai in the 5K. They'll be chasing that sub 13, that world champ standard with a slew of other great runners. On the women's side, Cinta is opening up her outdoor campaign with an 800. Very excited to see her get out there. She's been crushing it lately. And Sage is also doing the 800, and she's been absolutely crushing it lately as well.
Are they both in the first heat?
Yeah, I think so.
Sweet.
I think Sage wants pacing for 149. That's what I heard.
I wouldn't be surprised from what our training has been so far.
So
I heard Cinta also wants pacing for 148. We'll see who gets the pacing.
I think they're probably going to split at 148.5.
Yeah, 148.5.
To make everyone happy.
Sounds pretty good.
That's the goal. Yeah. So best of luck to everyone out there.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
I wish I could be out there. I fucking love going. Like, I've taken the trip out to Oxy a couple of times. A couple of times now. Dude, I love it out there. That's like kind of those are the trips that made me fall in love with LA, just going out and racing in Oxy.
Mm.
Especially if you stay, I don't know where you guys are staying. You guys are probably staying at some hotel in the middle of nowhere potentially, but.
I think close-ish to the track.
Yeah. I thought everyone was staying at individual Airbnbs.
You just have to book each. Them across LA.
You book them all.
George is staying 2 hours away.
Tyson's driving the van out and then picking up everybody.
That makes sense.
From each individual Airbnb.
That's awesome.
And the van's going to be wrapped with Dathan's face, like the 1984 face. It's just Dathan on the side of it.
So you know.
That's OAC, baby.
Yeah. LA is such a nice place to go race.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the shortest travel we do of any meet.
It is surprising we don't go there more, considering.
We try to take advantage of it, I feel like. But
when you need it.
Yeah.
We're going to be taking advantage of it a lot in 28. I'm telling you that right now, fellas.
Hope so.
Wow. That's crazy to think about, actually.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah,
dude, this tease is opening up my mind.
Dude, what'd you put in there?
I don't know.
What'd you put in there, George?
What did your mom do?
Don't worry about it.
What did your mom do?
Love that.
Yeah.
Very excited to watch George run the steeple. I'm thinking around 7:45 on a good day, 7:47 on a bad day.
How about an average day?
On average day, I reckon 8:04.
All right.
Checks out.
Deal.
I reckon I can see George running 8:04 with a 56 second last quarter. And then Jordy doing some sort of funny celebration, handstand, somersault spin.
Bring back the handstand.
Straight away, takes off all his clothes, goes straight into the shower with his Spikes on.
I wonder if Mike Smith will be there.
That is a good question.
There are some, Woody's running in the 5. That'll
Conclave.
Be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Conclave?
Conclave, yeah.
I don't know how else is on his team anymore.
Yeah, it's very transitory these days. Guess not. Nico's not running.
No.
He's the main one I think of. So that's it.
Well, Luis is running something else.
Is Luis returning to...
I'm pretty sure he's returning, isn't he, George?
How do you know?
How do I know? Because...
I told you I didn't know, and I assume that's your only source.
Well, he misheard you.
I'm just saying, this tea is awakened something in me.
It's connected him to Flagstaff.
I fundamentally believe Luis is talking to me right now saying... Tell George that I'm doing well. Mike is giving me some good TLC and I'll be racing and getting slammed by Commissioner Gordon.
Well, We'll have to just wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see, though. I don't know if that's a premonition or I'm just hallucinating.
Maybe both. Maybe both. So yeah, that's that's the updates. I guess my update is I put another notch in the tally that I got beneath my desk of MRIs for the year. So if anyone's trying to keep up with me,
is that seven?
Just know that I think it's six or seven. I really need to check. But I got two last week is what I'm trying to say. I had one right before the podcast and I had one later in the week because the first one was not satisfactory. So
you just enjoyed the first one so much.
Dude, this is my story.
What do you listen to these days in there?
Okay, so in the Boulder one, they don't give you an option. Like, they don't play music. They just put the headphones on. The Boulder machine, T1 or T1.5 or whatever, which is like the lower resolution you can get, it was peaceful. I took a nap during it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so nice.
That quiet.
It was definitely loud, but like it was more in the white noise end of the spectrum. And then part of the reason I had to go back was to get a high resolution one. So we went up to T3, which is, I guess, like the highest one you go to. Remember how we were looking up prices last week?
Yeah.
This is probably that 3 million plus range we're talking about now.
All right. So we got to push that one to the new.
Same location.
Different location. They don't have the T3 in Boulder. You got to drive a long way to find a T3 machine.
Where'd you find it?
In Denver.
We can ask on for the budget for that.
So drove there, T3 machine. They did put music on this time, which was nice.
Would they play Fetty Wap?
That's what you get for the extra two
Fetty
mil.
Fetty Wap radio.
Fetty Wap radio.
The extra 2 million gets you radio.
Also, it's like the worst quality music plus. Like, I don't know how they do it. But I did request Parcels, actually. I requested Parcels.
I think
they use Pandora, I'm guessing. And then the machine started going. I couldn't hear the music at all. It was the loudest machine. It was so loud. Like, it was painfully. Like, I wanted to move. I couldn't move my arms. I probably could have because they weren't actually in the thing, but I was too afraid to move my arms. And I wanted to like hold down the headphones so I could hear the music instead, because it was just hurting my eardrums. So needless to say, I did not take a nap in the second one. And I'm still awaiting my report, but it looks like most likely.
Always.
Couple B's. B for bursitis in my glute medius. It's hip pain, pretty much. I mean, I don't really want to say it right now because we're still awaiting the report, so maybe this is wrong, but that's what it looks like. Some hip pain, some bursitis in my glute medius bursa, typically an injury that you'll see among postmenopausal women, but also occasionally can happen to elite athletes.
Yeah, occasionally.
Due to running too much.
Yeah.
So those are the nuts and bolts of it. I have pain sleeping on it, so I have to sleep with a pillow in between my legs. I've been trying to cross train a little bit, but I'm trying to actually really let it recover now more because I think I was hitting the bike a little bit too hard last week. So we're just hanging out. I'm hoping just to be back running as quick as possible.
How's it sitting down?
Sitting down, like, it doesn't hurt sitting down, but it's one of those injuries that, like, when you, after sitting is not good for it, because anything that compresses that area, which, like, fucking everything you do compresses that area, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, when you stand up, you'll feel it.
Oh.
A little bit more, and then it'll, like, loosen up and be fine. It hasn't been, like, I don't mind sitting with it that much. Like, it hasn't been that painful or anything, but, yeah. I think it's actually, like, not that uncommon of a running injury for just a classic overuse thing, but...
Well, we're wishing you a speedy recovery.
Yeah. If you need us to move the podcast to a horizontal location.
We can do like a shrink thing where you just lie here.
Like this. I got to elevate right now.
Or we could just like strap ourselves to the wall or something.
Strap to the wall. We got to get the Normatec sponsor. Maybe we can get like a specific Normatec studio where everything is getting.
I think I have three pairs of Normatecs in this house. Like, we could theoretically
You could sell those and make some good money.
Let's make it happen.
Well, that too. Or we could just all record in them one day.
We should try that one time.
If they paid us $1 million, we could do that.
$1 million? Yeah. Maybe actually one point. What was it? One point.
What? How much did that machine cost?
$3 million.
So
$1 million each.
Yeah. Then we can have the machine.
Plus a little extra for
We need a little extra for the skin. We need like the coffee club brand it and stuff like that.
Machine would fit right there, I reckon.
Yeah, it would go in there pretty well.
But Why don't we just do the podcast in the MRI machine?
That would be amazing.
You ever think about that?
That would be amazing. Morgan, you missed one key thing about your, unless you're still going with your update.
No, that was it. Well, I mean,
Look at, okay, people are watching, but if you're not watching right now, Morgan McDonald got a haircut, and I tell you
You probably can't tell because I'm wearing the headphones.
Yeah, but he looks
beautiful.
He looks amazing. Everyone's commented on it. Literally, when I saw him, I couldn't stop looking at him in the gym. It's the best haircut you've ever had.
It's one of those things where you get a bunch of people talking about it. You're like, wow, how ugly was I before? That it's like such a noticeable difference.
Your hair was, before your hair was crazy. It was. It wasn't
just
bad.
Like I don't look after it well enough.
Yeah, it wasn't
so
bad.
Every morning it's like.
Talking to Cinta was like, it's pretty crazy right now. He needs to get a haircut. And I said to her, I said, well, you know, that's kind of the vibe, you know, getting a bit crazy. She's like, yeah, but you just need to like tie it up a little bit. And then you got a haircut. And might I say,
You didn't see him on the same day.
I didn't see him the first day.
You should have seen him that day.
It was insane.
It was crazy.
Because she did all the...
Where'd you go?
Secret. Not telling you.
Yeah, you shouldn't tell. That's a good test. It's a good test. I got my own lady.
We know.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, fantastic haircut.
No secrets with you. we know.
Except that I'm frustrated. You have an amazing haircut. It looks fantastic.
I got to look after it. I got to condition it or something.
Very handsome. Well, it's very dry here. Unless you do the Geordie method where you just don't touch it.
It is. That's pretty good.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
I guess I'm going to get some slime or something.
I'm getting a haircut this week.
From Jenna?
Yeah. That's my lady.
That's your lady. I'm trying to figure out though. Your hair's not that long.
No, it's fucking long.
I guess because the headphones are pushing it back.
But it's like, it's long.
But just a little race week cleanup.
Yeah, in just summer season cleanup.
Aerodynamics.
Have you ever thought of doing the sage?
We basically have the same haircut.
Yeah.
Hers is shorter than mine at the moment, I think.
Well, she was telling me at Seaburger the other day, I was like, Sage, have you ever thought about like growing out your hair? And she's like, oh, it doesn't suit me. But one of my great pleasures in life, she said, was literally letting it grow out and then just cutting a shit ton of hair off. I was like, that's hilarious because most women that I know don't like cutting their hair short that much. They like growing their hair out.
We should convince her to do the samurai and then they'll really look identical.
She could do the samurai.
Yeah, she could do it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I was telling someone else to do it too.
You know what I really want you to get, George? Honestly,
it's just time. It's just been through.
Can I get paid for this haircut? I'll pay Jenna to cut it. I really want you to get bangs. I'll pay like $300.
What do you
even
have to do to get bangs? I guess you have to cut some of it really short so you can push it down.
Yeah, you need like
that'd be crazy.
So like still this long,
but then just the fringe. Like
you cut the front part.
Imagine Geordie with bangs. That'd be unreal,
dude. You'd look like you were so good.
Fuck, that'd be annoying running though.
You would hate it, but it would be. It'd be amazing. Maya. Yeah, Maya did have bangs for a while,
and she regretted it big time running.
Oh God, I'd love it. I'm just thinking about it right now, Morgan.
What do we have to do to make it happen, George? Okay, what do we have to do? How much money do we have to raise?
Do we have to
get George bangs?
Coffee club.
I think more than
Let's
the
to
machine.
What charity are we donating to?
We'll donate to. We should donate to a charity
don't
that
make me
donates
feel bad
hair.
About it.
Sorry.
It's
like when Ollie tried to make us drink Mountain Dew,
and then I just donated anyway. I'm still pissed at you guys about that. I had to donate anyway. Sorry. You guys didn't even drink it. I drank it,
and you enjoyed it. You loved it.
Yeah, I drank it at the gala with like vodka or something. It was unreal.
I absolutely loved it. Well, that's my update. And on that note, I think we're going to take a quick little transition moment, and when we come back, maybe we'll have someone join us.
Da-da-da.
And we're back, and we are joined by Mr. Cameron Myers. Cam, how are you doing, and where are you at right now?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm in Flagstaff at the moment, which is a nice change of scenery. Enjoying my time up here.
Nice change of scenery, like from Canberra. Are you saying Canberra sucks?
No, definitely not. I listened to your last week's episode where you had that bean shout out from, where was it?
Piccolo?
That's the one. Piccolo. Obviously I would have loved to go, but I haven't gone there yet, unfortunately.
You have to. You absolutely have to go check them out. Is that a thing in Canberra, the Fishwick markets?
Yeah. They're pretty good. Rory Hunter, my training partner, lives like right across from there. So maybe I'll ask him to do a review for me.
That'd be an epic review from Rory.
So first off, we've been seeing some lovely pictures of you training in Flag. It's really nice to see Jai there as well. Like, we're just happy to see him back training and stuff. What is the setup there now? It seems like there's a lot of Australians there. Is coach there? Is it? I mean, there's a lot of people there.
Yeah. So I suppose AA just sort of like supported the camp here. So I'm actually staying with
Didn't tell
Jai,
us about that.
Obviously, and then Vish. as well. And then Dick's over here, and a lot of other Aussies are over here. So yeah, we've got a pretty good setup going.
Is Dick running around the track with the shirt off?
Yeah, he's still running further than I am. So yeah, he's winning.
I think for our listeners, it would be awesome to explain who your coach is, Dick Telford, because he's obviously in Australia and down probably New Zealand as well, down under, legendary coach, but maybe not as well known internationally. My last memory of him was during COVID when they told him, Dick, you're too old to travel during COVID. It's too much of a health risk. And he said, fuck that, I'm going to travel. So what's the story with Dick?
Yeah. So Dick's my coach. Obviously, he's got a background in exercise physiology. So he was working with the AIS for a while. I don't think he probably coached there too, but I think he was definitely the physiologist for a while. He's worked with a lot of different sports, but yeah, he's 80 years old and he still works out twice a day.
He's like actually 80 years old.
At a time.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Dude, I saw Dick, when I was at Nationals, I saw Dick running around the track and shit. I see him running around all the time. Every time I see him at a meet, he's running.
What are his two workouts look like?
Oh, he's fast enough to get a heart rate up. So he'll just run up and down a hill. And he'll do that for like an hour. And he'll get the rigs out too.
Yeah, he'll get his rig out.
That's so good. Yeah. Man.
Is he in good shape? Does he look?
Yeah, he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, he looks pretty good.
He did a lap of my cooldown on Thursday. So and that was like, 450 per kilometer pace? So
that's not bad at all.
It's not pretty bad good. At 80.
Pretty good.
One thing that we like, just following you and stalking your Strava, the normal things, we've noticed that like your training is very, very modern. So is that coming from Dick or are you pretty involved in it? Like, we're very impressed at the way that you kind of operate at such a professional level at just 18 years of age.
Yeah, so I suppose it's collaborative in a sense, but obviously Dick has, is still telling me what to do, I guess. And I guess that sort of modern sort of style comes a bit down to like me not being able to handle, I guess, a bigger training load that he would probably desire. But yeah, obviously he's got a background coaching like 10K runners, half marathon runners, marathon runners. So he's got like obviously a very strength-based program. And I guess we are able to sort of collaborate and make it a little bit more to fit me specifically.
It does seem like he would be a Lydiard. Just a Lydiard prodigy believer.
I feel like he was most famous like coaching marathoners, right?
What is he known for?
Yeah, who's coaching? I guess he's probably worked with mostly marathoners over his time as a coach. He had like Lisa Ondieki, who came second in the Olympic marathon in 1992, I think. And then he's obviously, I don't think he coached Dick Stella, but he worked with Dick Stella and those sort of guys back in like the 80s and the 90s and stuff. So yeah, he's got a very marathon sort of background.
He has coached a Commonwealth Games champion as well. He's coached Andrew Lloyd, who's a mate of my dad. And Lloydie always talks about Dick. Yeah. Particularly, he has a nickname for Dick.
What's Dick's nickname?
Dick's nickname is Dick Cheese, which is what he calls him. But they're very, very close. And I think Lloydie's one of the only Aussies to win the 1500 up to the marathon at the national championship in Australia. So he's won every single one. So he talks about Dick quite a bit through his training, because Lloydie and my dad, Cam, they run like probably almost every day together, because Lloydie lives in the Shire with my dad, and they always talk about, you know, the good old days back in the day kind of stuff. And he always talks about Dick's training and how Dick was very, very on strength-based work, which was interesting because he won that iconic 5K in Auckland. George, I don't know if you ever watched that race where Ngugi was an Olympic champ, world champ, big Kenyan. He like fell down twice, took off, and then it was a big kick down because he ran out of juice. But Dick's coached some pretty amazing people, and he's still coaching some pretty amazing people.
What do you guys call your team? Isn't there a funny name for it?
Telford.
Oh, it is Team Telford.
That is a funny name. That's hilarious.
You guys have been
Team Telstra. Team Telstra.
Telstra.
Yeah, Team Telstra.
Telstra.
Yeah. You guys just never have connection.
All right, how's Flagstaff though? Truly,
Flagstaff's good. I like it.
Best training place you've ever been, or what?
Sorry, what was that?
Best place you've ever trained?
Don't feed into him, Cam. Don't feed into him. I spoke to Cam and Dick at Murray Plant. I was trying to convince him to come to Boulder, and Dick was so like they were set on Flag so much, and I hate it.
I wish he was involved. The coffee's so much better here, bro. You love coffee in
you
Canberra. Don't,
you've never been. How do you? Yeah. How would you know?
Because Flagstaff probably has one coffee shop and everyone goes there and it's pretty huge line.
Where have you been getting coffee?
Seamlessly. I don't know if it's like relatively new. It's kind of close to Whole Foods.
Neil Gawley talks about that place.
I think it just moved. There's always been a single speed, but I think it used to be closer to downtown. And I think it moved over there.
Their own beans and everything. So like they're pretty legit.
Pretty legit.
If yeah, Cam says they're legit, then to me they're legit.
There's about four or five places here that roast their own beans on my street. On my street.
You want to talk about legit?
Let's talk about legitness.
You come to Boulder.
Come to Boulder, mate. Next time I'm talking to Dick. I'm taking over.
Yeah, I was actually pretty keen, but Dick was pretty set on Flags.
I think he wants you at higher altitude. Yeah, he wants you at high altitude. And also, I think it's good for Dick's training as well to be a flag. He needs to be at high altitude to get that heart rate up.
Oh, these guys drive down. How have you been driving down?
Yeah, we drive down at least on a Tuesday to do our session at Cottonwood, and then maybe a Saturday. Depends. It's we did our Saturday session in Cottonwood last week, but not every week.
Mm. So are you still on a kind of that classic Australian Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday session days, Sunday long run, or is it different for you?
Yeah, it's kind of hybrid, I guess. Yeah, Tuesday, like track session, not huge volume, but just like a little bit of rhythm and race pace stuff. And then Thursday, I do a double T day, which is like about an hour of threshold. And then Saturday is like pretty stock standard K reps. I mean, like it just varies based on like the time of the year and where we're sort of at with the training, like 6 to 8 of them. And then I guess if we're closer to races, we'll go faster and have a little bit more rest. And if we're a little bit further away or even in between races, we'll just do shorter rest, more reps. And we'll also do hills on Saturday too. So we'll do like K reps and then hills after.
What more do you need?
Is that what you were just doing in Camp Verde? I saw you just...
Except there's not really a place to do hills there. So
I'm
we're
surprised.
Doing like 200 meter reps and then you just finish on like a 25 incline at the end.
I love it.
Good enough. Just go back up the mountain.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
Get the job done. So what, apart from there being an AA set up there, what else is the plan behind being in Flag? Are you racing in the US or is it
No, I'm actually not racing here, but I guess I actually wanted to go straight over to Europe and just do like altitude somewhere there just so I could knock out the travel all in one go. But because of the Schengen rule of only being able to spend 90 days in Europe, I've kind of got to like go here instead. So it actually worked out quite well, I think, being slightly higher. I don't think anywhere in Europe goes up to 2100. So
could be in Sierra Nevada with the boys.
Sierra Nevada, but that's pretty depressing.
He knows. Have you run into Mike Smith at all there? How's he looking?
No, I actually haven't seen him. He's like a myth.
He is a myth.
He's elusive.
He doesn't exist.
Is there like, is Swoosh Track Club a thing there yet? Is there any like vibe of that or not really?
Yeah, well, I guess I've seen like Jess. Jess is obviously around and I guess, Mike has his group there, but I actually haven't seen him too much. I guess because we go like Tuesdays down to Cottonwood and they're probably double T on Tuesday. So they're probably staying up here. And then they do the Friday down at Cottonwood and Friday is just an easy sort of jog for me. So yeah, we kind of don't really have too many interactions.
It's too bad.
What have you been doing to pass the time, Cam? Have you been reading, playing video games, going for a walk? I mean,
I wish I could play video games, but I didn't bring my Xbox over. So
that's tough.
Rookie move.
The day actually goes really quick though, because we sort of run pretty late, like 9:30, and then we'll go to the gym after. And so we won't get back until maybe like 1:30, and then you have a nap and you kind of go run again. So
the
day goes pretty quick. I mean, yeah. And we spend a lot of time playing cards or at the coffee shop or whatever. So yeah.
What card games are you playing?
I play Monopoly Deal a lot.
Oh shit! We're gonna have to bring some cards over to Europe. I reckon that's gonna be a dangerous.
Well, I have one. So
do you have a deck?
So if we see each other at St. Moritz,
it's going down.
That'd be the time to play.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely amazing.
100%.
So, this year already, you've achieved some amazing things. I don't think we really need to read out your accolades too much. You're well known for achieving amazing things at a young age. But what's kind of like the roadmap ahead? One thing that we've been really impressed about, we've already kind of talked about how impressed we are at your professionalism at such a young age, and you seem to be very measured in how you plan out things. Seems like you're very patient. And in particular, like, for example, this year you didn't go race at World Indoors and you would have been ranked, I think, number two, but just behind Jakob going into it.
Yeah, he would have been number two. Well, because Neil ran 2:49, which was,
yeah,
he would have been number two.
So what's the plan? Like, is everything for you based around you look at world champs at the end of the year and then you're kind of just working backwards from that? What's kind of like the big master plan behind all these decisions that you make?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah. So my manager, JT, and then Dick also sort of collaborate to make sure that sort of stuff runs smoothly. Obviously, I would love to be just racing week in and week out, but that's not going to give me the best results, I guess. So, yeah, we've just got to kind of pick which ones we want to do. And I guess that just comes down to like the opportunities you're given. Noros, for instance, was a great opportunity that I was given. And so it was very hard for me to turn down like a Milrose. So obviously I went over and did a couple of races indoors. And then for the rest of the season, it's just basically doing enough racing, but not too much racing. And yeah, just having fun with it. You don't want to be one of those guys on the circuit that just only shows up for the big ones and then doesn't show up at the Diamond Leagues and stuff like that. I think you still have to have some sort of involvement, but yeah, you got to make sure you don't race too much.
So what does that look like this year? What are you confirmed for at the moment?
So I'll be doing, I'm actually doing K first in France, in Paris. So that's kind of like a, just see where I'm at off of a training camp, not really too much into it. And that's on the 7th of June. And then Oslo is obviously on the 12th. So it's a pretty tight turnaround, but I think that it should be manageable being only a K. And then a couple of weeks later, I raced at Strava. I think Jakob was down for that, but obviously, hearing about his injury, probably not so likely. And then from there, I'll head over to Three and then London. And then I'll have a pretty big block of training and then go and do Silesia. And then probably from there, straight on to Worlds, dependingly if I can get a spot in the Diamond League final, obviously. That's pretty awesome, but it's hard because like the Diamond League final is only sort of 2-3 weeks away from Tokyo, so it's, yeah, you kind of have to weigh that up and see if that's going to be worth it.
Wow. Yeah, definitely tough with the Diamond League final because that would be a great opportunity for you. But are you going to?
I didn't hear Grand Slam. I didn't hear you say Grand Slam.
No Grand Slam. Not getting
no
slammed.
No Grand Slam.
No slamming.
No.
Man, what the hell is Membrane doing?
What's Commissioner?
What
Gordon
is Commissioner
to?
Gordon doing? All right. But
no, to be fair, they did get in touch with me. I just don't think it sort of suits me where I'm at the moment. At least I just think I'm a little bit underdone on the 800 side, and I'm a little bit underdone on the 5K side. But obviously now that they've scrapped the 5K, well, I think they have anyways.
They have for the last two meets. Yeah.
It would have been a little bit more appealing had I known that, but I didn't know that one.
No, not even Commissioner Gordon knew that until probably after Miami.
That happened.
But Cam, are you going to, I mean, that's a really cool schedule. I will see
it's
you in
the
Oslo.
Classic Australian being away from home for
it
like
is.
6
I was,
months.
I was about to mention with the Diamond League final, if you do get those points or if you don't, are you going to go from Europe straight to Tokyo or are you going to go back to Australia? Because I know the travel from Australia to Tokyo is probably a little easier than from Europe.
What's the date? So Celeste was on the 16th and then I guess I was going to fly into Tokyo around the 8th. So
okay.
I'd have about 2.5 weeks and it's just whether or not I go up to altitude or I think Australia has a staging camp in Cairns, which is similar weather to Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's just whether you want to go and do sort of like heat stuff at sea level or go back to altitude and sort of try and get that sort of stimulus. So yeah. I guess that's something that I sort of need to weigh up and sort of, yeah, see what gets me the best results.
100%. I mean, either way, you'll get good either altitude or heat. I think we would probably be leaning towards the heat on our side. I think Dathan's looking at something in Tokyo, but depends on obviously who makes the world championship team.
Ollie must be going on his own camp because the rest of us are going to altitude.
Oh, really? Dathan didn't tell you about that?
Everyone's splitting up.
Oh, are people splitting up?
No, I don't know.
Well, Dathan told me we're going into Japan like 10 days
I
out.
I guess for 5K and 3K, like steeple and that sort of thing, heat's a lot more of a factor than a 1500. So.
Yeah, that is true. I think the USA have some sort of setup that Dathan's going to tap into for our team 10 days out. We'll go into...
In Japan?
In Japan, yeah.
So, Cam, just because we've already talked about it on this podcast... We've already talked about everyone's haircut currently. Are you keeping the buzz cut? What are the thoughts?
Well, I did hear last week Jared didn't like my hair.
He doesn't like it. I don't know why. I don't know why he doesn't like it.
That's what we said?
Yeah. He told me multiple times because he likes your hair long. And I said, well, why do you like the buzz? He's like, I think Jared just doesn't like anybody in buzz.
I think he just doesn't like the buzz cut.
Yeah.
But so like you can pull it off though. You've got the head for it. Have you thought about bleaching
it? Nice arrow. Oh, I have thought about that, but I don't want to. Like with all due respect, I don't want it to turn blue like you last.
Mate, that's a good fear to have. That's a good fear to have. Because if your hair looks blue and you look like an absolute idiot, then you have to run well. Then you have the pressure. You're like, I have to run well. Otherwise, I look like an absolute idiot. But you won't have that problem.
I contemplate getting the razor right and just going full skinhead.
Skinhead?
If it went blue. If it went blue.
If it went blue, yeah.
But
yeah.
That'd be you pulled the blue hair off, to be fair. It kind of matched your on kit last year.
Yeah, but dude, it was tough. I looked like a really poor, simple Milhouse Van Houten from Simpsons. I look fucking shite, but I appreciate that.
We like the buzz.
Yeah, the buzz. I think the buzz looks good because I feel like when you came off into the buzz era, you've been crushing. So it's definitely good to keep that going, keep that rolling.
Yeah, I think so.
Why not?
Then if I start running shit again, I'll just change.
Yeah, just change it. Exactly. That's what you're gonna do.
That's the most important part.
It's not my training, it's my haircut. That's the yeah. That's the main thing
that's
to take away.
What they say. We do have some fun Instagram questions that were sent in, and I think it'd be good to go through a couple of those. First one, thoughts on being compared to a few people were asking this one. Thoughts on being compared to a young Jakob. Do you get tired of it or is it flattering? And then also kind of like as a second part, comparisons to Lisan Al Gaib. You can take those one after the other.
I don't know who that's taking 1 minute.
Have you seen Dune?
No.
Movie?
I think I did a school project on it without watching it.
Well, don't worry about that part. Maybe just respond to the Jakob part then. But all you need to know is that he's prophesied to be like to take over the world pretty much. But yeah.
Well, I guess in a way it's flattering because obviously Jakob is pretty much the standard that everyone kind of wants to get to. And he's the athlete that I guess everyone's chasing and sort of like pretty much deciding how they want to train and how they're going to beat him to an extent. So it's nice to be compared to someone like that. But at the same time, I don't really look too much into it. I think it's very much like we're different athletes. We have different strengths and weaknesses. And I think you've just got to be sort of focused on personal development rather than comparing yourself to someone else. I think like progress is not linear in this sport. So it's very hard to compare yourself to someone who's just kept improving year after year after year. Rather, you just got to try and improve yourself however that comes.
Well, that's a very good answer.
There's no way this dude is 18.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. I was like, dude, if I was 18 years old, I'd just go, yes, cool.
No, I think I'm better than Jakob. What are you talking about?
That's the way I would answer at your age. Holy shit.
Wise beyond your years, Ken.
Dude, he is a Lisan Al Gaib.
Yeah. All right, that actually answered both questions.
No, dude, honestly, if you got time, you should watch both movies. They're unbelievable.
Good way to spend your
time. Yeah, if you need to waste time.
Speaking of your wisdom, we did have a bunch of school-related questions. There were a bunch asking if you were going to Wisconsin, which, no, I'm not biased, but yeah, I think you should go to Wisconsin. But maybe a better way, a different we had was just like, were you ever planning on going to the NCAA and what was the story behind that?
Yeah, so I kind of was at one stage. Obviously, I signed to Nike on an NIL when I think I ran 338 at the time. So I guess at that point, it's. I think the NCAA would have been very good for my development. And then I sort of 3, 4, 5 weeks later, I ran 333. So it's like it didn't feel like I'd outgrown the NCAA. It just felt like if I kept improving at that rate, then I wouldn't really need it. But then in hindsight, obviously there's pros and cons to both of it. Like, I mean, I think the NCAA does a really good job of getting people prepared to race in championships, whether that's a national championships, whether that's a global championships. I think that sort of racing side obviously is quite important. So yeah, the NCAA obviously was quite appealing, but I think just where I was at and where I wanted to be, it didn't really make that much sense for me.
Yeah. Fair enough. 3:32, that's pretty good. That's pretty legit. How old were you? Like 14?
Yeah, what, 15?
No, I was 17.
Okay. That was at the Crest.
Oh,
Bankstown,
yeah.
Baby. I rented at Charlesville first in Celestia.
Oh, wait.
I do remember that.
Ran in Celestia, then you went to, then you ran 3:30 something at the Crest, didn't you?
That was a fast race.
Yeah. I ran 3:33 at the Crest too.
Yeah.
With Wyman.
That was a crazy race. A lot of Aussies ran pretty quick there.
They did.
Yeah.
There is a couple of questions about your dong. I'm going to skip over those because those are inappropriate and move on to the next one. which was, who do you look up? He said, oh, fuck. Who do you look up to the most, Morgan, Ollie, or Kai?
Morgan, who said Ollie? That? Where's George?
Yeah, you can, and George included. I think it was because we're Australian.
Oh, we're all Australians, yeah. Yeah, well, I guess Ollie probably was the most. You know, I was the hair. So I was actually short course, cross country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the night before the race, and you won the Comm Games gold. The night before the race. The commentators couldn't stop talking about you. I was going around, and it was like lap after lap after lap. I was getting dropped in this cross country race, and I was just hearing your name. So that was
just tell them about the Comm Games.
Well, you know what, Cam? When I'm an old melted candle and I watch you win Olympic gold medal, I'm going to be doing the exact same thing. I'm going to be screaming, I know that guy.
Yeah. Dude, we've talked about it before, but it is like so sad that we weren't in Australia when you won the Comm Games, because it's just like being my America. It's just like, who knows, but that would be so huge.
Did I tell you what happened to my brother?
What?
He always makes bet on it as well, so he made a shit ton of money, but he was in Newcastle at the time at the pub. And he's like, oh, you got to put the Comm Games race. Because it was like, he was like, my brother's racing. They said, oh, who's your brother? He's like, oh, is that ugly looking bloke there with a really bad bodysuit on? And then I won. And everyone went freaking nuts. And then the bartender
was like,
all right, free beers for everyone. And then Christo did a nudie run around Newcastle and they locked him out and he couldn't get back into the pub. Everyone was going absolutely nuts. I was like, that's one of the best stories I've ever heard.
I actually know a couple of people that put money on you because your odds weren't that great.
Yeah, my odds were shit. Everyone was
made a lot of money on you.
That was the funniest thing, Cam. People were texting me to say, oh, congratulations. They were saying, dude, I made so much money off you because I just put a shitty bet on you. Crazy. And I was like, wow. Well, can I have some of that bet?
Ollie actually tanked that at Worlds.
Yeah, just for the betting odds. Yeah.
Genius.
So
that's kind of the end of our Instagram questions, but I just do want to ask you straight up, like, we've already said a few times how you're very wise beyond your years. What do you think is kind of like the reason behind that? It does sound like you have done an amazing job at, you know, you being surrounded by a lot of great people, a lot of great mentors, great coaches. But yeah, what is kind of the, if you had to, you know, put into words, like, what do you think the reason is behind you being so grounded and so wise with your approach?
I guess probably the biggest thing is just being sort of exposed to that environment, I guess, all the time with training. You know, for a long while, I still am the youngest sort of in my training group, and just having those people around me that have been through similar situations and can draw on their experiences, I think really helps me. And especially having someone like Jai, who I guess I look up to quite a lot. You know, I was pretty young when he first won nationals and went to the Olympics, and all I got to sort of experience that in, I guess, secondhand. So seeing all of that, I guess, keeps me grounded in a way. Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's a great answer. Actually, just speaking on Jai, I know obviously he's been going through some pretty hard shit with training and injuries and stuff. How is he actually doing? Is he doing well with training? Is he looking at racing at some point? I know Dick mentioned he was going to try and race him in Europe. How have things been going for Jai?
Yeah, Jai's going really well. He's racing 10 days. So he's racing in Big Gosh end of the month, which should be good. Yeah, it's just good to see him sort of back training and racing. And just, I guess that's what he loves to do. So yeah, it's good that he gets to have that opportunity.
He's a very good racer. So we'll be excited to see how he does.
Totally. Any other questions from us?
No, I think he's part of Coffee Club TC now.
Yeah, we can claim
him. I'm inspired.
Cam, we're always so happy to see you out there racing and see you crushing it. And we're so happy that you came on the pod. So thank you so much for joining us today. And obviously we'll be following along with you. Enjoy Flag. Say hello to Mike Smith.
If you see Mike Smith, tell him Olin says hello. If you see Mike.
I'll see.
Yeah.
Say hello from me.
Yeah.
And you'll do. Are you guys racing this weekend?
George running the steeple.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, nice. Good luck. I thought I saw Morgan listed as well.
I was listed.
That's a classic Jesse move.
I was never racing because I was already coming back from an injury, and then I also picked up a new injury just last week. So now I'm definitely not racing. But hopefully I'll be over in Europe and see you out in Europe or something.
Yeah, we'll be playing Monopoly deal at some point.
That's the goal.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully you get a speedy recovery and you'll be back racing pretty
Thanks,
soon.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. Well, have a good
All
one.
All the best, Cam.
Thanks, Cam.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Have a good one.
See ya.
How's that kid 18? Dude, when I was 18, I couldn't even like put a sentence together.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Like scary.
It all makes sense.
It does make sense for his success.
I think he's surrounded by such good people, I reckon. Yeah. Like there's not many people that I would say like you shouldn't go to college, but for him, and like it's similar almost to Hobbs, but even Hobbs had a longer transition period where he had to refine it. He already has his people, man.
I feel like he's probably Hobbs, but a bit ahead.
I am impressed by that training system from Dick.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's
how dialed they are on effort and lactate and like working out 5 times a week probably.
But it's the way it is, like it's integrating the double threshold stuff, which is new, but it is, dude, I miss the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday sessions.
I do miss doing three workouts.
They're just such shorter volume sessions.
And you feel like you get more out of it for sure.
And it's just like, I think when I came to the US and I started doing 2 sessions a week, I was like, oh, this is way better because it's like I'm running better and I only have to do 2 sessions a week. But there's something cool also about, like, because if you think about what's actually fun in our sport, it's like easy runs are very fun, but like doing sessions is fun.
I'm always trying to get out of easy runs. Yeah. I would love that.
So it is actually, like, I do miss that. Maybe at some point we'll be able to go back to that because it was cool.
The transition will be tough for us, though, because we're so used to just smashing every workout that we'd need to, like...
It wouldn't, though, because Americans run long runs so hard. Like, that's, like, the American culture that it's essentially a workout.
Yeah, you take that out.
You just do it instead of a hard long run. Ollie freaking loves... You love crushing long runs, so...
I'm breathing heavily because I do love long runs. I do also love... I do love the idea of, like, turning a long run into a workout because then it does feel like I have 3 workouts. I get 3 good efforts in. Whereas, like, with the regular runs, like, what is the worst runs for you guys? For me, it's doubles. I hate doing doubles.
I actually like doubles.
I don't like them.
I don't like the day after. For me, it's probably the day after really hard stuff. Or Wednesday's the day after.
Wednesday's probably our worst day.
It's just like when your body's the... it's pretty much whenever my body's the most tired.
I'm the most mentally tired on Wednesdays, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I find the most challenging.
Jordy's favorite day
is Wednesdays. Probably because you crushed the Tuesday long run too hard without carbs.
No, I take carbs. I take carbs.
Swedish
I do. I take carbs. Swedish fish. Nah, come on. What do you think I am?
Carbs.
Haribo fucking cola bears.
True. True.
Fair enough.
Wait, you can get beers?
No, I mix cola bottles and beers together.
Them yourself?
Yeah, they're in a little jar next to my Xbox.
Amazing.
Yeah, when I start doing Twitch.
Amazing. But yeah, Cam Myers crushing it. Him at Flagstaff, man, that's dangerous.
Yeah, he's going to run real quick. I reckon tell.
Because they don't have that type of activity
in Australia. The 1K he's doing in France, I'm going to be interested. I reckon that'd be an Australian record attempt, surely. Because I think Australian record's 2:14, maybe?
Is that in the Paris Diamond League?
No, it'd be too early.
It's way too early.
I think. Or is it?
I think it's...
I just made that up.
I'm pretty sure I think it is. It
wouldn't be because Rome is on the 6th.
What did he say? 7th.
Yeah.
He did say 7th.
When is Paris?
It must be later. If Rome's on the 7th, Oslo's on the 12th, it must be...
Like 2 weeks later.
One week later.
Like Faith's sub-14?
Oh, dude, I forgot about June. That.
Yeah, it's she's definitely doing it.
Did you guys get
June.
The call out for that?
The sub-4 attempt?
Yeah.
Too slow.
I can't break 4.
Too slow.
Just her.
Yeah, too slow. So, yeah.
And no Grand Slam. Well, that's because he would have if he knew.
Yeah,
if he got the inside knowledge.
A 3K would probably...
To be fair, though, I Grand Slam, I think, has done a decent job, but they still haven't got a lot of athletes that I think a lot of fans would have wanted to see.
Ollie told me yesterday...
Tough part of it.
Whereas I think... It's a great move. I think it's the best thing they could do to help secure their future in the sport. Ollie told me yesterday, he says Grand Slam is destined to fail and taking out the 5K is really dumb.
Yep. I stand by that.
Yeah, I think
taking out 5K was inevitable. I think it's a great decision.
Take out some of the sprints, man. They're so boring.
Okay, this is my question. I don't think you need to take out the 5K. I think they need to have the 1500 5K group, like we said, and race those two.
In 2 days.
I think you could. Or you could make it a 3K. I understand this is the same thing. But this is my question that I'm asking myself. Does anyone, like, I don't know how they're measuring this. Is anyone watching, like, the 200, 400 group?
No.
Like, who's running in that?
No.
Who's
I couldn't give a shit.
That?
Honestly, we're not,
we cannot be unbiased, so we have to
But that's my question.
That's why you have to phrase it like Morgan. Is someone watching?
Do people care about all these different sprint events?
I just don't care. I care a little bit about like the main short sprints, but also like they don't have Shikari, they don't have Noah, they don't have like any of the recurring characters I want to see. Number one, to make the sprints interesting.
Apart from Kung Fu Ken.
Kung Fu Ken is amazing. He's
doing
great.
Who you love to see?
I love to see.
This has got nothing to do with getting rid of the 5K though.
However, let me finish. The sprints, I don't think is interesting. They don't have the players. I don't think it's doing well, particularly for me personally. If I'm somebody that's not into sprints already, if I want to get into sprints, I want to see the top guys competing against each other. Aiden 15 has the Olympic champion, the Olympic silver medalist, and the Olympic bronze medalist. They've had the 800 runners coming in and beating them. The A15 is objectively the best.
Yeah, one, but we don't need to defend
by
that.
Far.
We don't need to defend that. We know that.
To make the distance better, they should do off events. They should do the 2K and the 2 mile. That's what I reckon they should do.
What do you like as one off things or as two races for that group?
I haven't thought of it as one off, but I was thinking there's two races.
In 2 days.
Yep.
Yeah, but
I don't think a 2K would knock Grant Fish around. And I think a 2 mile.
Wait,
so they
took out they made it a 2 day meet now, not a 3 day, and they took out one of the events from the distance one. Is it both 3Ks or is one a 3K and one a 5K?
Both 3Ks.
Oh, so they're just going straight to 3Ks.
Yeah.
See, to me, the 3K and the 5K are synonymous enough that I understand the move to a 3K. The thing with a 3K is, I mean, it could still be super slow, as we've seen, like they can run very slow.
3Ks. They ran like 8:17.
Yeah. But then if it's going to be slow, then it's like you'd rather be watching a 3K than a 5K because it's just shorter. And it takes less out of you. I
don't think it's anything to do with the energy of that. I think it's just time. It's just purely time covering it. I think because it's 14 minutes or 13 minutes or 15 minutes of time covering that event, Michael Johnson thinks, I don't want to waste 15 minutes on this when I can do 5 or 6 races of sprints in the space of 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think they could make the 5K work.
But I think they could make the
5K work. But I think they're going to make those guys run a 1500 for sure.
What, the distance group?
Yeah.
Oh, you want 2 1500s. Yeah. That's just confusing.
That's not confusing. You just watch the race and you see who wins.
No, I would not want that. Then
really?
Distance. No, because it's not that's not distance. 1500 is not distance event. It's a middle distance event.
Who gives a shit about the name?
It's kind of arbitrary.
No, I give a shit about I give a shit about the event. If you're going into long distance and doing a 1500, you're not in long distance. You're doing a middle distance event and a distance event.
Yeah, but you're still just talking about names. Wouldn't it be interesting to see people have to show how good they are across both the 1500 and the 5K.
Well, then I tell you what, the short sprint should do a 100 and 800. Then.
Stop comparing it. Just
no,
think about this 1500.
They're sacrificing an event and they're not doing anything about the sprints.
No,
it's objectively doing worse.
The sprints do a 200 and a 400. Those are very different events.
That's long sprints.
Yeah. No, but the name's not important.
The name is important because that's the category you're in.
Is a 200 a long sprint?
A 200?
Yeah. Is it really a long sprint? It's not that long.
Yeah, it's longer than 100.
But just because the name is long distance doesn't make that 1500 not cool to watch. You call it horse racing. You call it what the fuck you want. It's still a 1500 with the same people. It doesn't matter what it's called.
I think it's just pointless to run a 1500 for a distance event when you already have the A15 where that's the 1500 and that's an exciting event to do. I reckon you should do an off event. You should do a 2K.
Pointless.
Why does that matter?
Because I just think it's a waste of time.
You don't think it's... It's just supposed to be entertaining. That's it.
I think a 2K would be very entertaining.
But a 1500 wouldn't be.
No, because we already have a 1500.
That doesn't...
But why does that specifically matter? Because they have the 2 200s.
Yeah,
I think
the 2 200s is also like just annoying to watch.
But wouldn't it be interesting to see two different 1500s play out?
Probably on two separate days. You get to watch one 1500 one day, one 1500 the next day.
Well, then just go to fucking Mount Sac and watch the college kids do it for 10 heats.
Well...
That's very different.
That's not a very good argument.
I think it's pointless. I think it's pointless to run 2 1500s.
But if you think that they should run a 2K, what's the difference between a 2? Like, I agree. A
2K is more than a 1500.
Sense.
It's not middle distance anymore. I think it goes more into distance. And it's also an off event.
If you're calling like...
It's different. It's a different race. It makes it more engaging. It's harder to measure, like, for those athletes. So then it becomes more of a... It can become more tactical. It just become an absolute sprint. Like, I think it would just be way more interesting to watch.
Really?
Yeah.
A 2K,
this is my
and
opinion
a
1500. Too. I mean, I know you guys disagree with me. I'm sure a lot of people will disagree with me, but this is my opinion. I think that getting rid of...
Do you think a 2K is always more...
Yeah, I was about to say, why shouldn't the 800
I think with the athletes
2K.
That they get in, I think it would be way more interesting, yeah.
Because I think it's a 2K is such a cool, it's like a K. I think it's just it'd be an interesting event to watch. And I think those athletes are so talented, it'd be cool to see what they could run for a 2K and how they run it and how it turns out.
But you could say all that same stuff for 1500.
No, because they all run 1500s and it's always going to be a similar
idea. I haven't seen Hagos Gebruyesus run a 1500.
Yeah, but you can expect what you can get from him. You can expect him running a decently good 1500, which might be a little slower, but they'll have a longer kick. Maybe that's it. Like, that's not interesting to me.
But it's not, a 2K wouldn't be different.
I think a 2K would be different. It's an extra lap, a lap and a bit. They're probably going to have to measure the kick differently. It's longer.
But why do you find the 8:15 group interesting? Isn't it interesting that they're different enough
because
events?
But
for the distance group, you want them to be more similar events.
Yeah.
But the 8:15 group, you think is interesting because they're different events.
But it is middle distance. 800 is a middle distance event.
Name's not important.
Yeah.
How is name not important? That's the group you're in. You're a middle distance athlete.
But they made up the names. No one's called it long sprints before.
And no one's
calling it long sprints. I'm just saying like that middle distance.
It's not middle distance. It's literally called short distance.
Well, I'm saying it is middle distance. I don't care what they're naming it, short distance or whatever. It's called middle distance because that's what it is.
So the name's not important.
No, well then, just forget it. Forget it.
I just, we don't get why you wouldn't want Grant Fisher, Luis Grijalva, Nico Young, Graham Blanks, all the best guys in the US. You don't want to watch them run top Africans, Olympic medalists in the 5K. You don't want to watch them run a 1500.
No.
Why not?
Because I don't find it appealing at all.
Interesting. We can agree to disagree.
Yeah, we can.
But the thing is, I think your 2K idea is good, but for the exact same reasons. You know, like I think them running a 2K is the same thing as a 1500.
I want them to run something different than a 1500 because we already have a 1500. I don't like how the sprints are doing all these 100, 200s overlapping.
Are you okay
with
the men's and women's group both racing the same events?
What you mean?
There's two 1500s, men's and women's.
Yeah, but that's completely different. That's completely different from what I'm arguing. I'm arguing on a specific men's / women's. I don't want to see multiple hundreds. I don't want to see multiple 200s. I don't want to see multiple 400s. I want them to see different events. That was the whole point.
What about if there's rounds of a 1500 at a meet? Like you have to run two 1500s.
That's besides. That's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
But that's fine.
That's got nothing to do with.
These two 1500s would be so different to each other. That's why I don't think it would matter.
I don't think that'd be very different.
The 8:15 group to the 15:5K group.
I don't think it'd be very different.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you watch like a person like Graham Fisher or all those other athletes run 1500s with 1500 people, they almost run like very similar to what they'd run in a race with just them in it. I don't think it would change.
I think it'd be so much harder for the 5K guys to run a 1500 compared to the 1500 meter guys running a 1500.
Yeah, but you're asking like if they could run the same. They could literally run the same.
Do you think the 1500 is the best event at Grand Slam?
Actually, no. I don't think it is. I think the 800 is. I think the 800 is really fun to watch.
Interesting. Well, I guess we'll...
That's Grand Slam.
See what people think.
How about, because I'm not sure if this was discussed or not, or maybe it was secret, Wait, how would they do it? Oh, yeah. One day, 800 guys run 800. Distance guys run 3K. Next day, 16-person 1500.
They put everyone in the same 1500. I'd be more interested in that than two separate 1500-meter races, 100%. Or even Geordie, like you say, did rounds. Two races. But then you'd have to put it to a three-day event. You couldn't do back-to-back 15s.
Yeah, I guess that wouldn't work with the scoring.
But 16 field.
No, but you just score it. You just have to beat.
Or
your,
you mix them.
You just
mix
beat
them
your
in.
People.
You mix them in, maybe.
Wait.
But again, it's just
the same.
No,
I think the scoring.
You could just make the scoring.
I think you
work.
Could just combine the scoring.
You could.
You just have double.
I am a little bit hurt that they would get rid of a distance event, considering that, like, I feel like personally.
There's a lot more waste in the sprints.
There's way too many shit going on in the sprints that I just don't pay attention to. And I also get frustrated because the top sprinters are not going.
Yeah.
But that also frustrates me. Marcel Jacobs not there.
But that's besides the point. They had to have it a 2-day meet. That was the first thing. All right. What do we have to take out? 5K. they don't have to take out a sprint to make it 2 days.
No, they don't. But that, it just, it's frustrating to see that the 5K is getting sacrificed when I think it's still enjoyable to watch.
I just can't imagine. Like, I just would love to ask sprint people if they're like loving this or not, because it's obviously designed for sprint people.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
I'd like to ask Grant Fisher how he feels about them taking 100 grand from him potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably looking after 50 him anyway. Well. They're probably looking after him very well.
That's another thing. Is like Sydney's going to win 100 grand. Yes, she's the best. That's just makes sense.
But no, like, we're getting Sydney in the 100 next week for her first ever 100 meter.
But it just seems like for the sprints, it's very streamlined towards them. And I think objectively, as being as objective as I can, even though I'm very very subjective about this, the A15 is the best one to watch.
Definitely.
I think if I was a regular fan of track and field and I had no bias, I think the A15 is the most engaging.
I don't think that's controversial. It's the one has the most like uncertainty about it. That's why, like, that's, you know, when we've talked about the chicken boy league or whatever in the past, like, one of the things that I've said that is really important in making it entertaining is you don't know who's going to win. And like, that's what they do really well in other sports, is they try and maintain that.
So we got the A15 as the best. What is the second best? Can you think of a group that you think this is definitely the second best group?
Well, I just like distance running.
Exactly. But can you think the sprints, have you watched any of the sprints and think this is pretty good?
I do.
As objective as you could possibly be.
I may be the 100, 200.
Yeah.
I like the 100, 200.
Which is also like just what they do at World Champs. They double usually, the top guys.
Yeah.
So they're doing the exact same thing as what they do at World Champs. Probably obviously more racing and more time in between, but that's not new for them.
Yeah, the 100, 200 would be the next. Like, the long hurdles, like, I'm not really like that invested in seeing like 400 meter hurdlers racing a 400. The short hurdles, I'm not that invested in seeing them racing a flat either. Even though actually it has been pretty cool, the hurdles, but...
It's cool with Trey Cunningham, but without Grant Holloway, it seems like a bit of a...
This is the thing. They haven't got the best guys, and I think but that...
They don't have Jakob either, so they can...
Yeah, but Jakob's not the best guy.
Sprinters can equally
argue that. Won the Olympics.
Yeah.
Josh was second, and Jakob was third. They have 1, 2, 3. So that's like why maybe... I feel like I'm thinking that it's way more interesting to see how they play out at this time of the year. I'm just trying to think, like, how would sprints be more interesting?
Yeah, definitely. If they had all the best people, if they had the three Olympic medalists, it would.
What
be
about
more
the events? Do you think the events, like, if they did an off sprint event, or like hurdling, do an off hurdle event? I don't know.
I think the thing is the format is untested, and we're seeing it play out now. And it was going to work better for certain things than others. The A15 works so well because every runner that's good at one of those can race the other, but it's like there's a lot of uncertainty about actually how well they will perform in it. And even within those groups themselves, if you line up just the 1500 meter runners and have them race each other in 1500 every time, like the guys that are in Grand Slam, you don't know how that's going to play out either, because they're all so good and they consistently beat each other, like Josh, Yard, and Cole. And it's same with the 800 guys, like they all consistently swap positions as well. Yeah. So that one just, and they're there. It just works so well.
If you were able to take control of this, say like Commissioner Gordon passed it to you and you call it Chicken Boy League, what would you do? What would you change right now for the next season? Is there anything clearly defining that you're like, this needs to go? Or are you kind of like, well, right now, this is the best that they're
doing? I don't know how they're assessing if they're being successful or not with all these different sprints.
I mean, they're going to put out numbers probably and say, this, like, we've got all these views or we've got all
these. I think like the... I just really, I don't know how you make it work exactly, but I think it has to be all be about like as little races as possible and make those races as exciting as possible. I don't know if that's like...
So less races?
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty much like almost like the Diamond League, because the Diamond League only has certain races on it, what meet, and then they just do meet after meet after meet. Like that's why the Diamond League format's probably doing...
Yeah, but still no, because like the thing is when I watch a Diamond League, I'm not that invested in 80% of the events still. Like I'm just so biased to distance running, or I'm so biased to like, I just don't know how you make it into a good product, but like.
We turn into a league and make people turn up to those races.
Like you just have like singles, you just have more condensed sprint days and everyone has to do the same events. You don't spread people across different events. You have like on the same day, you could have like heats and finals. I don't know. But I just think all the distance, I think the most exciting event is going to be when you have the most people, good people racing each other always.
Mm.
But that's why, like, trying to find a way to make it like almost cross country esque, where it's like there's just one race. Well, there's one men's, one women's, and everyone that's good is racing each other, and you're engaged the whole time because you don't know. You, like, it's the oldest story.
It's literally like what the Grand Slam is in tennis, like one guy, one girl, best person wins the slam.
Maybe just other sports lend themselves to it better, but I don't know. I think I've always kind of said, like, I think it'd be so hard to have the same format that works for sprints work for distance running, because I think they're two different.
Distance one, sprint one?
Yeah. But it does work for the mid-distance. It's just a question if it works for all the sprints.
I guess,
like, this format works so well for the 815.
Yeah. But it is. It
works so well for the 100, 200.
But that's the thing, is that we are biased to it, but I just...
But it's like, then you start...
I'm trying to think objectively about the sprints, and I just don't think it's... with not the top guy. Like, imagine seeing Marcel Jacobs and Noel Arsen Frick, like, just seeing those athletes just consistently racing. I know it's hard to get them there with money, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, anything else to talk about?
I think we'll beat that one to death a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good place for us to start to wind this one down. It's been a roller coaster of an episode. Thank you once again to Cam Meyer for joining us. Legend. Member of Coffee Club Track Club now. Yes.
That's a huge signing, honestly.
That's really good for the next 12 years.
we need to get Gaukaut on, and then we're set for at least 20 years.
Up to Brisbane, 2032, we're good, baby.
That's genius.
We've got to get Gaukaut on.
But yeah. Best of luck, everyone. Check out George's race on Saturday evening.
Yeah, best of luck to George.
Oxy. If you can't get a ticket, as we said, Jerry said he'll pay for it. And shout out to the rest of our teammates as well that are racing. We're very excited to see everyone out there.
It's going to be great.
But yeah, that's it. Episode 187. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and for watching and for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, guys. It's Ollie Hall here. Please leave a like, subscribe, and a 5-star review to really help out Coffee Club, and particularly to help out Gus with his expensive taste. Appreciate you all. Thanks for enjoying.